Good morning, everybody. Thank you, everyone who came out for our Siyum Tanakh, the learning for Ezra Schwartz, all of Hashem, Hashem Yukabdom of Yechiel, Ezra ben Ari Yona. I'd like to thank all the family that came to join us, as well as many Talmidim from Yeshiva Ashreinu. I was speaking Friday night here in Shul that when I was at Rutgers on Thursday night, they told me they did something very special. That normally there's different minyanim at Rutgers. The Hillel has their own minyan, Chabad House has their own minyan. But in light of the fact that Ezra was scheduled to be enrolled, should I wait a minute?
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone has to meet from Baltimore.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. Why not? That they made one minion. They made one minion together as a sense of achdus. You know, and there was a year ago after the terrible terrorist act, Ezra was a very big Patriots fan, they say. So on Monday Night Football, they had a moment of silence. And the announcer read, "The senseless terrorist acts abroad." A young man was gunned down nearly 5,500 miles from home while studying abroad. So the announcer didn't say, studying abroad, he was learning Torah in yeshiva. The announcer didn't say, Eretz Yisrael. He said, studying abroad. But we understand exactly what it was and what it was all about. We have a young man who went to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael. And is the quote from Rabbi Gatz Yudin, when I told my Rebbe, Rabbi Yudin, what we were planning on doing, he said, call my son, have Rabbi Gatz Yudin send you something to read. So I just want to read it. It's here in front of you. Beautiful words from Rabbi Gatz Yudin. To try and capture Ezra of Hashem's essence in a short amount of time is a futile exercise. There's so many special qualities he possessed, always smiling, the life of the party, kind, mischievous. Many who know him told me that he was quite mischievous. Creative, funny, the list goes on. As you may know, Ezra, on the day he was murdered, spent the morning learning at Eishet Torah Discovery Program. On the bus ride back to Ashreinu, Ezra was sitting next to his Rebbe, and he said, I really want to try to learn all of Tanakh this year. We have a concept in Judaism called Machshava Kemaisa, which is explained to mean that when it comes to doing a mitzvah, just having the thought, even if you didn't get a chance to do it, Hashem looks at it as if you finished Tanakh. So in Hashem's eyes, Ezra finished Tanakh. The way we gathered together to pay tribute to Ezra is so appropriate and so meaningful to what was a priority to Ezra. May the learning that was done for this scene be a zechut for Ezra and Shemayim. May Ezra be a melech yosher for us and for all of Kal Yisrael as we try to emulate his ways. So Baruch Hashem, we included here a list of all the learnings, a fantastic turnout from people in the broader community, Talmidim at Frisch. And I just wanted to call your attention to a place on the last page as well, that we as a shul, we're making a donation in honor of Ezra's memory, but if anyone would like to contribute as well, there is a fund, the Ezra Schwartz Memorial Fund, that was set up, and ways to get involved are included on the last page of that. At this point, it's a pleasure to call upon Rabbi Miodanik, who will share Divrei Torah, will cover the Siyum Tanakh.
Good morning, everyone. I did not know Ezra Schwartz personally, but I feel like I did. It happens to be that last year, last Thanksgiving week, I was in Israel for a family bar mitzvah, and that was the week that he was murdered, and that was the week they were sitting Shiva here, and I made my way to Beit Shemesh for the huge askara, the huge memorial service that was held at Yeshiva Ashreinu on Thanksgiving night, actually, in Beit Shemesh. And I sat there for 2 hours and saw the enormous outpouring of love and affection for this young man. It was really remarkable, and it's a moment that I'll never forget. And anyone who either watched it live, you know, live screened or was there in person was truly impacted and uplifted by the outpouring of affection of Ezra's friends for him, which really illustrated what an incredible person he was. So I want to share with you some words of Torah this morning in his memory. And they're based on the Torah of someone that you probably never heard of. A Rebbe of mine named Rav Shmuel Grunfeld. Rav Grunfeld was a Rebbe of mine in Yeshiva. And you've never heard of him because he was taken from us too young. He too died on a road in the Gush, on the way from between Efrat and Yerushalayim, but it was in a traffic accident. And unfortunately, he was in a horrible accident years ago, and he was taken away too young. And before he was Nifter, he wrote one Sefer called Beis HaShoeva, which is a Sefer on connecting the Haftorah to the Parshas HaShavua. He only published one volume on Bereishis. The rest were in the works. He never got to finish them. His life also was unfinished learning. But I want to share with you his Hakdama, the introduction he writes in his Sefer Beis HaShoeva, where he explicates just one Perek of Tanakh, which happens to be the last Perek of Tehillim. Perek Kufnun, which we say every morning as part of Psukei Dezimra. So just let's learn together and see what is David Melech teaching us here about how we praise Hashem. Haluka halukel b'kacho, halu b'rkia uzo. We should praise God in the sanctuary. We should praise God because of His firmament of power. Halu b'gru asav, halu b'kirov gudlo. We should praise God for His mighty acts and for His abundant greatness. That's what we're praising Him for. Then the question becomes, how does a Jew praise Hashem? Pasuk Gimel. Haluhu b'seka shofar, with the sound of the shofar. Haluhu b'nevel v'chinor, with the harp and the lyre, two string instruments. Haluhu b'sofu machol, with drums and with dancing. Haluhu b'vinev v'ugav, with flutes and pipes, wind instruments. Haluhu b'tzeisei shama, haluhu b'tzeisei shrua. You should praise Him with resounding cymbals, cymbals, C-Y-M-B-A-L-S, and with crashing cymbals. And finally, Kol HaNeshama Taloka Haluka. Let all living things praise Hashem. Why does David HaMelech elect to praise to tell us that we should praise Hashem with all of these instruments and activities? It's a very, very specific list that Rav Grunfeld analyzes as follows. He explains that there are two themes and motifs in this tehillim. One is that we praise Hashem with activity. All of these instruments are done with different activities. Shofar with the mouth, nevel, kinor, and tof with the hands, mechol, dancing with the entire body. Also, thinking about the sources of these various instruments, they're from different elements, different parts of the universe. The shofar is taken from an animal, and so are the strings of the harp and the lyre, the nevel v'chinur. The minim v'ugav, the flutes and pipes, those are made out of wood, usually. They're made out of plants. And then tzeltzelei shama and tzeltzelei teruwa, cymbals, are made out of metal, inanimate objects. All of them can be used as sources of praising Hashem. Not only that, but perfection is not a prerequisite. You don't have to be perfect and sound amazing in order to praise Hashem. Look at the Gemara, the second source, remarkable Gemara in Erechin. Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Avuv Haya B'Mikdash. The word Avuv, the Targum Yonasan, the Targum Unkelus, on Tehillim actually equates with Ugav. Ugav is Abuv. Abuv is the Aramaic word for Ugav. So there was a flute in the Beis HaMikdash. Chalakaya, Dakaya, Shalkanaya. It was a very thin reed instrument. Moshehaya, and it came all the way back from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tzivaham, now, it was just a plain, probably ugly little thing. Tzivaham Melech Vitzipu Zahav. The king ordered that it be coated with gold to beautify it. For use in the Beis HaMikdash. And what happened? Lo haya kolo arev. Didn't sound as good. This flute sounded worse when it was coated with gold. So what did they do? Natlu es tzipuyav. They removed the coating. Vahaya kolo arev kamoshaya. And it was just as good as before. interestingly, you don't need to be a fancy gold-plated person to praise Hashem. Sometimes the most authentic praise of Hashem is from the simple, unadorned reed. And similarly, tzilzul hayah b'mikdash. There were symbols. There was a symbol. Those crashing metal symbols in the base of Mikdash. Shanachoshayah b'mikdash out of copper. V'hayah kol or. They sounded okay. V'nifkam. And then there was a dent in one of them. V'shalchu chachamim v'heviyu umnin me'alexandria shal mitzrayim b'tinu. So the rabbi sent for the greatest musical instrument experts from Alexandria to come and repair the dent in the symbols in the base of Mikdash. Vitzik knew, and they fixed the problem. They smoothed it out. And what happened? V'lo haya kol or. It didn't sound good anymore. It sounded better with the dent. So what did they do? Natlu astikuno. They removed the improvement. In other words, they re-dented the symbols. V'haya kolo arev kamo shaya. And it sounded just as good as before. The dented symbol. The simple, plain reed. No gold coating necessary. That is what it's all about. So David HaMelech is teaching us here in Tehillim that when we approach our service of Hashem, it doesn't have to be with perfection, it doesn't have to be with wealth, it has to be with authenticity, and it has to be with all of our character traits. There is a beautiful Mishnah in Meseches Kinim, the third source on your page, which is really a commentary on our Mizmor. Look what the Mishnah Kinim says. It's talking about a ram. Talking about an animal, a ram. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Zehu she'amru. This is why they say it about a ram. Kishu chai kolo echad. When it was alive, it had one voice. U'cheshehu meis kolo shiva. After it's alive, it has seven voices. How can something have seven voices when it's not alive anymore, and only one voice when it's alive? So the Mishnah explains, Ketzad how so? Ketzad kolo shiva, how did it have seven voices after it passes? Shtei karnov, shtei chatzotros. Its two horns can become two instruments, two horns. Chatzotros, again, the Targum equates chatzotros with shofar, which is the first instrument in our Mizmor. Shtei shokov, the two thigh bones of this animal become shnei chalilin, two flutes. You can fashion a flute out of the thigh bone of an animal, which is another instrument. Oro lesof, the skin of the animal can be made into a drum, and there's the tof in our mizmor. Me'av Lunavolim, b'nei me'av l'kinoros. The strings of harps and lyres are made from the intestinal the intestines of the animal. You take one animal and you get seven voices afterwards. So while the ram may appear to no longer be functioning, no longer be alive, it can still sing Hashem's praises after that. And people, too, can sing praises of Hashem, no matter how desperate their situation. On the phrase in our Mizmor of Haluhu Biltzoltzolei Trua, what's Trua? Trua is crying out to Hashem. The Targum translates Trua as Yibaba, the same Trua that we use when we sound the shofar of the sound of the Trua, that desperate moaning sound. And yet, ironically, it's Haluhu Biltzoltzolei Trua. Even at times of desperation, of alarm and anguish, we are able to use that as an opportunity to praise Hashem. And that really is what happened a year ago this week to the Jewish community throughout the entire world, where we turned Tzoltzolei Shrua, we turned the tragic loss of life into an opportunity for a Hillel, for a Talmud Torah, for multiple siyumim of Tanakh all over the world, including right here. And we took a time of joy and sorrow, and we elevated it and used the life of a young man to inspire all of us to learn more and do more. And there are really three possible interpretations, just to conclude, of the last pasuk. Kol ha'neshama tala kahaluka. Let all living things praise Hashem. What's that doing at the end of these instruments? So there's a Medrash Devarim Rava that translates the word neshama as nishima. I'll call nishima unishima. For every living breath, one should praise Hashem. Every breath, every time we inhale and exhale, that is an opportunity to praise Hashem. And similarly, kol haneshama, the entire soul, should praise Hashem. We should use our entire, all of our strength to engage in this activity. When I saw the videos and saw the reflections of Ezra, this was a young man who was just so full of life and energy and enthusiasm. Kol neshima neshima, every single breath of his life was one of celebration. And that was the kind of person he was. So this was a very, very meaningful pasuk to discuss him with. And finally, the Radak. The Radak says there is one more instrument in our mizmor, and that is the neshama. You don't need a shofar, or a nevel v'chinor, or a tof, machal, minim, ugav, tzitzalei shama, tzitzalei truah. All you need is a neshama. The neshama itself, when everything else is gone, can still praise Hashem. And that neshama, that pure neshama of Ezra, therefore, is still able to praise Hashem. Kol neshama kalaka haluka. The concept of kishu chai kolo achad, kishu meis kolo shiva, also very much, I think, applies in this situation. Where in his brief life, he managed to inspire the world sevenfold, if not more. And that message has spread internationally, and therefore it is so meaningful that we've gathered today to celebrate the Siyum Tanakh. And we thank Ezra for inspiring us with his commitment, and may we continually learn Torah in his memory, and his memory should be a blessing to all of us. Thank you.
To dovetail upon that, the amount of learning that was inspired, I remember the Shloshim, there was a special program that was coordinated with DRS, Rabbi Kamenetsky, and they had a video hookup throughout the nation, where young men and women were learning Torah in Ezra's memory, and they had a Siyum of Shas Mishnayos. There were schools participating from all over that we had in Los Angeles, there was in Florida, at Frisch we had, and everyone came together to learn. At that point in time, when I heard Peter Schwartz, Ezra's uncle, speak so powerfully, so meaningfully, and I asked Peter to please come to speak and to share words with us in light of the occasion.
Thank you, Rabbi Jaffe. Thank you to all who participated in the learning, for memorializing Ezra in this way, and for providing me with an opportunity to speak to you today. In the year since Ezra was killed, I've had plenty of time to observe and to reflect on Ezra's life, on the forces and people who conspired to murder him, on the reactions of Ezra's parents and those closest to him, on the reactions of a broader community, including Americans, Jews, and all of us here today, and on the losses that others experience every day, which I now view and appreciate in a new and deeper way. I have two observations from these reflections to share with you. First is that I am amazed and impressed and proud of the way in which Ezra's parents, my brother Ari and his wife Ruth, have reacted to this loss and to the communal response to it. To attempt to describe or somehow capture their grief would be as presumptuous as it is impossible. Using terms such as heartbroken or shattered seems both cliche and utterly inadequate, so I will not try. I will, however, tell you that the grace, the strength, and the courage that they have shown in the wake of this loss has been inspiring. They have been warm instead of angry, generous instead of bitter, embracing instead of retreating. And one other thing that they have done is to focus on Ezra's beautiful life rather than the awful circumstances of his death. They talk about Ezra constantly and share stories with each other and with his friends, sometimes through tears, but often through laughter. They keep plenty of pictures around and reciprocate the many acts of comfort and kindness that they have received, and they pay them forward, consoling others who have faced similarly incomprehensible losses. Their nobility in the face of tragedy is not only a credit to them, but helps explain where Ezra got many of his own fine qualities. A second observation is about the extraordinary communal reaction to Ezra's death, and not just from the Orthodox or even just from Jews. From the strangers who flew in for the Shiva, to the busloads of yeshiva students who spent hours traveling to comfort the family for just a few minutes, to the many generous donors who contributed to Ezra's memorial fund or countless other worthy charities, to those who planted trees or did other acts of chesed, to the thousands of people who wrote letters or cards or posts that provided comfort or shared memories of Ezra, to all of those, including some here today, who learned in Ezra's honor, to the politicians and dignitaries who shed the aura of their stations and opened up, providing personal stories in an effort to support and comfort the family in its time of loss, to thousands of others who engaged in acts and gestures, large and small, that supported and embraced the family from the moment we received the news and continuing to this day. Every act was so greatly appreciated and helpful and consoling. I have seen our community rally together in times of loss and tragedy, but I've never seen anything quite like this. How come? Why was Ezra's death so moving for so many people? Why did so many identify with this loss? I think there are several reasons. One is that he and his family are so easy to identify with. How many people have sent a high school graduate off to Israel for a year with pride and optimism, but also a little worry that everything will be okay? How many people know someone just like Ezra, fun-loving, sweet, on the edge of manhood, headed to college with a life of promise ahead of him? He could have been any one of us, or our child, our sibling, our friend, killed randomly by a complete stranger who he'd never met. Which brings me to the second reason why so many people felt this loss so deeply, and that is the way he died. It was sudden and random and violent and public. The ultimate act of aggression, not just against Ezra and the other two people killed in that attack, but against Jews and against Israel. From this perspective, Ezra was not just a person, but a representative of Jews, of Israelis, of terror victims, which raises all sorts of political and ideological issues and deep feelings for people. But a third reason that so many people felt and shared this loss so broadly and so profoundly was because of who Ezra was. Like many boys his age, Ezra was fun-loving, athletic, and harmlessly mischievous, though these qualities didn't really distinguish him. What made him so special to so many people was his warmth, his kindness, and his generosity to others. For his siblings and cousins, he would be the organizer of games, the peacemaker and resolver of fights, the patient coach and mentor. Whatever a bully is, Ezra was the exact opposite. He would gravitate towards the weak and lonely, sensing kids who felt left out or afraid, befriending them, encouraging them. Though he was a strong athlete, he spotted a struggling player at a baseball tryout and spent time encouraging him rather than hanging out with the other strong athletes. He responded to an old and somewhat eccentric woman on a bus in Israel who needed help with her packages. First, he helped her off the bus. Then he brought all of her belongings to her apartment, which was not as close as she said it was. And along the way, he spoke with her and befriended her. Honestly, who does that, especially when they're 18 years old? As a brother, as a teammate, as a friend, as a camp counselor, as a human being, he got involved. He did the right thing. He made people happy. He brought them together. He was unapologetically silly and unabashedly warm. happy to be himself and not overly concerned with what others might think about him. He was popular and special and exceptional in ways that I barely appreciated when he was alive and have learned from countless stories since he died. There are those who note that at the time he was killed, he was on his way to do good deeds, provide care packages for soldiers, and fix up a park commemorating other victims of terror. And some even say that he gave his life for these ideals. He certainly didn't give his life for this or for anything else. It was taken from him and from all who loved him, brutally, cruelly, hatefully, and utterly pointlessly. He did not sacrifice himself. Rather, he dedicated himself to his family and friends, to his community and his people, to his ideals and values, not by the way he died, but by the way he lived. Like his parents, I choose to focus on his life, not on his death. This is not a universal concept. I was just reading how the Greeks valued a noble death above all else. And even today, there are people, including those who support terrorists, who celebrate the violent, suicidal deaths of their loved ones. But this is not our way. As it says in Parshat Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Tet, Hachayim v'hamavet natati lefanecha, habracha v'haklala, uvacharta b'chayim. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life. Rav Yitzchak Nissenbaum, a famous religious Zionist leader of the Warsaw Ghetto, argued that instead of Kiddush Hashem, we should focus on Kiddush HaChayim. He argued for a focus on sanctifying life, not merely honoring martyrs. Personally, I think martyrdom is overrated. And in any case, I don't view Ezra as a martyr. I view him as a victim. He was not heroic in his death. He was an innocent, sleeping boy in the wrong place at the wrong time. But he was heroic in his life, by the kind of friend and brother and son and cousin that he was, by the way he treated others, by the joy he added to this world. Thank you all for honoring Ezra with your learning, your time, and your thoughts. Without question, these acts, as well as other acts of kindness and commemoration, are a credit to Ezra and provide comfort, pride, and strength to our family. May Ezra's memory continue to inspire people to do worthy deeds and be a blessing to his family and all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you.
Peter, thank you very much for those beautiful, meaningful words. We'll make a siyum now. I chose to learn Sefer Yonah. And at the end of Yonah, we know that the Navi has a problem understanding how Hashem is running his universe. And somehow there's a message of this kikayon, this tree that only exists for a short period of time. And the Sefer ends in a very enigmatic way. The final pasuk says, Hashem responding back to Yonah saying, I don't understand. Hashem tells Yonah, Vanilo acho sal Ninve, ha'ir ha'gedola, I shouldn't have compassion upon the great city of Ninve, ashel yeshbo harbe, mishtem esre ribo adam, ashel lo yada ben yimino lismolo, uvehema rabba. They don't know right from left. Hashem answers back to Yonah, and the Sefer ends there. Yet the Yalkut Shimoni tells us what Yonah's reaction was to Hashem. The Yalkut Shimoni ends and tells us that Yonah's response to Hashem is that Ba'oso shah at that moment, Nafal upon him. Yonah fell down upon his face for Amr, and he said, Haneg olamcha b'midas rachamim. Hashem, you're running your world with the attribute of rachamim, of compassion. Dichsiv, a pasuk in Sefer Daniel, L'adonai Eloheinu harachamim v'haslichos. So we believe with Emunah Shleima, even when a kikayon, a small tree, a small leaf, something we don't understand how it fits into Hashem's overall plan, we understand that somehow, through our limited vision, we believe that Hashem is running His world through Rachamim. I'd like to thank everybody who participated in the learning. We'll now say Kaddish on behalf of everyone who learned. V'yechil Ezra ben Ariyona, Aleph Hashem, Hashem Yikom Domo.
Iskadel v'iskadesh shemein rabon. V'yolamon yirach yivusek v'lid malkusei v'chayeichon v'yomeichon v'chayein chobeis Yisroel. V'agolov yizman koriv imru omei. Yehei shmeheram v'yirach v'yolam v'lomei holdem ayu. Yisvarach v'yishtabach v'yisvar v'yisroman v'yisnasei. Isador, Isalev, Isalal, Shemed Kushov, Rifu, Paylom, and Kobikosov, Shiwasot, Shpikosov, Nechamosod, Miram Yolmod, in Ruame, Al Yisrael, Val Rabbanan, the Altamidehon, the Alcoltamidehon, the Alcoltamidehon, the Alcomon, the Oski, the Rice, the Vasra, the Mikol Asar, the Asar, the Halehon, Konshom Rab, the Hino, the Hizdob, Rachim, the Hainavik, and the Zonor Vichay. Ufakonim in kolam abahondi b'shmaya v'imru amen. Yehi shlom rabim in shmaya v'chaim olein v'alkol Yisrael v'imru amen. Oseh shalom v'imromav hu yaseh shalom olein v'alkol Yisrael v'imru amen.
Thank you everyone for coming. There's refreshments in the back.
Hello. Hello.
Hey Rosh, how you doing?